Cruising around in the sky.
Since this morning?
We're not quite.
Since
this is day.
Where did you spend the night last night?
Well, I ended up spending the night in Seattle.
Hi,
Janice
is Katie.
Then they did. They had a break in the clouds. They managed to get down the
time.
And it was the biggest place that told us they were not going to.
I'm never going to listen again.
And so
I'm
what
just
time did
get
you
on
leave?
The plane.
Yeah.
Morning, we were 2 hours delayed because of fog and snow.
So,
okay, let's bring the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee meeting to order. It is Tuesday, January 18th, about 1:35 in the Ferencamp Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska. And we have present Senator Sharp, Senator Rieger, myself, Senator Salo, and Senator Lincoln. And we're going to hear Senate Bill 206, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to real property transfers. We have a proposed committee substitute. And Josh, why don't you begin the testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Josh Fink, aide to Senator Kelly, chairman of the committee. This bill would remove real estate professionals from liability for innocent misrepresentation of real property transactions. In 1982, the Supreme Court, Alaska Supreme Court, ruled in Bevins versus Ballard that brokers who make an innocent misrepresentation to a purchaser of real property are liable for the misrepresentation. This ruling puts an unjustified liability on real estate professionals. The sponsor of this legislation agrees with the dissenting justice's opinion when he said, when a realtor acts as a mere conduit for passing on information supplied by the seller, he should be under no duty independently to verify that information unless he has reason to believe the information to be false. Allowing an innocent misrepresentation action against the broker in such circumstances is quite close to imposing strict liability. There is no reason to make the broker the insurer of the seller's representations. Moreover, the Supreme Court ruled in 1984 in the State of Alaska Real Estate Commission versus Myrna Johnston and Eva Loken that the Alaska Surety Fund does not cover innocent misrepresentation claims. And this has made errors and omissions insurance for real estate professionals more expensive and very difficult to obtain in Alaska. And finally, the passage last year of HB 298 requires detailed written disclosure forms, residential real property disclosure forms describing all conditions of the property. And that has substantially increased broker's liability risk. The written disclosure forms are provided by the seller to the broker, then forwarded by the broker to potential buyers. And this could place liability on the broker for any misrepresentation the seller makes on those forms. This bill would overturn the court's decision in Bevins versus Ballard removing a real estate agent's liability for innocent misrepresentations as it was prior to their ruling in 1982. CS, Mr. Chairman, there's a simple change. It should have been in the original bill, but on line 6, the original bill reads, information provided to the transferee in the transfer, and the CS has information provided to the transferor or transferee.
Okay. Any questions of Josh? Okay. Josh, we did receive a fax today from the trial attorneys.
Yes, we did.
No surprise, they're opposing legislation. Is that available to the Mr. David Summers? Anchorage, are you online? Oh, okay. If you'd go ahead, Mr. Summers, and introduce yourself and the organization you represent, please.
The the ability for the offices, the real estate offices in the state of Alaska to carry heritage admission insurance is, I feel, very important to the public. In a case then when the public has a just cause for suit, the companies are then covered by the insurance policy, which makes the public covered when it's really needed. The current law allowing innocent representation suits against real estate agents, this enables the companies to receive insurance in many cases. The number of carriers out there are very few. Indeed, someone covers some offices, and because of the high expense, many offices cannot obtain insurance. This law, I would put to you, it might be better to have a state insurance. Somewhat tongue-in-cheek here, a state insurance fund to cover real estate purchasers, sellers that have a problem caused innocently, where there's nobody to blame, rather than blame the innocent real estate agent. There is something wrong with the law. That's why we're here to discuss it. And we do ask your support for Senate Bill 206. Are there any questions?
Any questions by the committee? Senator Reeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a question I have is on the in the cover page of the sponsor statement refers to it, the passage of previous legislation requiring detailed written disclosures by the seller in a real estate transaction. How much of that law remains in effect with the passage of this this bill?
This question is to me?
Yes.
You're asking if the disclosure law still remains in effect with the passage of this bill?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the way this works is that the seller is the person required to fill out the disclosure, and the broker is entitled to rely on that disclosure unless they have reason to believe that something is wrong?
That's correct. And it's also, Senate Bill 206 would not take away the due diligence required of a real estate agent in the state of Alaska. They still need to do that. It's coming upon them to find out what they can. All Senate Bill 206 will do is remove the liability of the agent for things they couldn't possibly know. And also, take away the ability of the seller, for that matter, when they knowingly have a problem with, when they know that they have a problem with the house, not say anything, because they can simply rely on the innocent representation law for the broker to take the ball when something goes wrong.
I can continue, Mr. Chair. What is the, I don't want a super long answer, but I am curious, what do you regard as the due diligence requirement on a broker if this law passes, 206 passes?
Anything visually they can accomplish. Now, this is my own feeling on this. Anything they can visually accomplish during the walkthrough on the house, anything in the public records they can possibly find, and anything and they can possibly ascertain from the seller through pointing out to them that they do have the mandatory disclosure statement, additional paperwork that we like to utilize that has other questions that we like to get the seller to fill out.
Okay. And is due diligence codified anywhere, or is it mainly just case law that evolves over time?
I believe it's case law, but this legal question I'm not capable of answering at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hang on. Senator Salo.
Yes. An additional question is, does the due diligence, you mentioned what the seller's disclosure, how about an engineer's report? Is that the information from that to be included in what you would normally be expected to know about the property?
We wouldn't necessarily know if an engineer's report exists unless it's disclosed to us. However, it is common to recommend an engineer's report in any case, as well as other items. If we know one, we certainly have to disclose that.
Okay, thanks.
Further questions of Mr. Summers? Okay, thank you, Mr. Summers. Mr. Russo, did you wish to testify?
Yes. My name is Joe Russo. I'm the Vice President of the Greater Fairbanks Board of Realtors. On behalf of the Greater Fairbanks Board of Realtors, we do ask your support in passing this critical legislation. We feel it's very important. We have discussed it, and that's pretty much all I have to say. I just have a brief statement about it.
Okay, Mr. Carl Schroeder. Okay, Mr. Allen, go ahead, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bill Allen. I reside at 1654 Ann Circle, Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm representing the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of, representing the Greater Fairbanks Board of Realtors, Chairman of the Legislative Affairs Committee. We wholeheartedly support Senate Bill 206. It was our understanding a year or so ago that when House Bill 298, the full disclosure legislation was passed, innocent misrepresentation would be a companion bill, but apparently that was a misunderstanding because obviously it didn't happen. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the impact on the brokers because of the Alaska statutes being silent on innocent misrepresentation, for one, is the difficulty in obtaining errors and omissions insurance. And the associated premiums are expensive, and they're going to get a lot more expensive unless there's a cure to this deficiency in our legislation. We do not believe it's fair that the state of Alaska requires the real estate community to be liable for the seller's representation about a property. As far as I'm concerned, my sales commissions do not justify such an exposure to liability. Alaska is one of only three states where real estate professionals are made liable for misrepresentation. It's not right, not fair. The law should be changed, and we support the passage of SB 206. Thank you for this opportunity to testify this afternoon.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Allen. Any questions? Did anybody else in Fairbanks want to testify? Okay, how about?
My name is Carl Schroeder. Speaking on my own behalf, I'm a real estate licensee here in Fairbanks. And I would like to speak in support of this legislation. I would just like to mention, as for the Alaska Statute 34.7, or about the disclosure statement, you're aware that there's also a provision on that statement that it could be waived. And because of the trouble damage part of it, a lot of people are waiving it or electing to have it waived by hiring someone to do that. Probably because of this innocent misrepresentation and because of the trouble damages, some people feel it's just probably just be a lot less liable to just waive the whole thing. But still, as a real estate licensee, if I know something about the property, even years past, something maybe nobody else knows, I'd be duly bound to disclose that. And to also not only disclose it, but there's pretty firm insistence that they obtain an engineer's report in order to seek some professional advice about that particular problem, whatever it may be, a permit for loss or construction. Like, for instance, here at Fairbanks, during the pipeline, a lot of houses were hastily constructed. But having an innocent misrepresentation as it now is, it just increases the cost of doing business. The broker passes the cost on to me in my transactions, and ultimately it'll probably mean a higher cost to the consumer. I'm speaking generally in Fairbanks, commissions run 6-7%, and in the states, if they're 7 and up, so I don't know if that says anything. I'd like to keep the cost to consumers as low as possible and still be operating in the public interest during my actions as a real estate licensee. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Any questions? Did anybody else in Fairbanks wish to testify?
That concludes the testimony from Fairbanks.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to Anchorage and Greg Erkins. Did Greg Erkins wish to testify?
Greg Erkins. I'm the chairman of the Legislative Committee for the Alaska Association of Realtors. One of our, besides all the other things that the other members from Fairbanks mentioned, the committee and the realtors in general feel we are held liable for experts that are higher than ourselves. For instance, a surveyor who we tap on an as-built survey showing where the layout lines are, showing where the house sits, and maybe showing where the well
first transaction involved where the well was off the property, and I withheld Abe passed that information along, even though I couldn't have measured it, and the other person was the surveyor was an expert much higher than myself. I was held liable for that act. If a well and septic engineer gives the information saying that this is a 3 or 4 gallon well, he has a level of expertise much higher than myself. I pass that along. If it's only a 2 or 3 gallon or a 1 gallon, or it fails in the future, I can be held liable, or all of us can be held liable for that. Home inspections and structure, heating, plumbing. Much again, we may ask a home inspection to be done. We pass the information along, we can be held liable for that. Appraisers who miss square footage on the house. There's such a thing as livable square footage, and there's such a thing as outside square footage. If a buyer felt that the fireplace should not be, or the closet, or the little closet under the stairwell, and you gave him an outside square footage, and he goes in and measures all the inside square footage, we can be held liable for that. Title companies, they give out information on the title. There can be defects in it, or they can give a clean bill of health. We could be drawn into a suit because of that. It goes on into environmental issues. We could go out and look at the property. We could walk it. We could try to do our first line of defense. We could look to see if there's any dark spots. Environmental engineer could come and do test hole digging. We pass along the report. There ends up that he missed a hole. There was some contamination. We could be liable for that. Though we disclaim that lawyers and accountants, and I guess in theory, we could pass on things like how you would take title into the property. We advise them to get attorneys to tell them how they should take title in the property. However, sometimes we just write down there a husband and wife. And maybe that wasn't the way they should have taken the title to the property. We could be held liable for that. What we're asking for is that the other people that actually have a lot of more expertise in many areas, including the seller who's probably lived in the house for 5, 10, maybe even 15 years, be held accountable, or we not be held accountable for someone who we have done our diligence to go get the surveyor, the well and septic, the home inspection, the appraiser, the title company, the mortgage lender, the environmental engineer, and advise people to go see their lawyers and accountants and not be held liable for that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Just some background, as I understand it, and anybody online or in this room that has other information can let me know. Senator Drew Pierce sponsored a bill that provided as a form of protection for the public, a property disclosure form every time a residential property is, and I'm not sure about commercial, is transferred or sold in the state of Alaska. As the bill was going through the process, this particular innocent representations language or similar language was in the bill. Somewhere along the process, and I think it was at the request of the realtors because they didn't know if they wanted that in there or not, and perhaps it was misunderstood, the language was removed from the bill towards as it got to the end of the legislative process. And so this language was in the bill at one time. As at the request of the realtors, as I understand it, it was taken out, and now they're essentially requesting that it be put back in again. There are only 2 other states, according to the information we have, that require liability on behalf of real estate professionals in innocent risk representation cases. That's kind of the background of the bill. Did anybody else in Anchorage want to testify?
Yes, please, Senator Kelly. This is Mark Corning, members of the committee.
Go ahead, Mark.
I want to testify in favor of this bill. I think it's really a question of fairness. I'm not aware of any other state that has a duty of innocent misrepresentation. Maybe one, but I'm not aware of any. I think that the real issue is realtors or real estate agents or a standard that they must live up to. I don't think innocent is a real standard. We are of course responsible for negligence, fraudulent misrepresentation, anything of that nature. And I think most people in the courts would agree if there should be a test for your duty or a test for your skill level or what you should and shouldn't know. And innocent really doesn't fall into those categories. It just seems to be a catch-all. I know often when I am called by a plaintiff or a plaintiff's attorney, the issue is, or one of the first things brought up is, well, you're almost automatically guilty because the innocent misrepresentation statement or category catches everything. I really don't know what else to say other than I really think it's an unfair test that this industry is placed under an unfair standard. I'm not aware of any other industries that are placed under the same duty. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Courtney. One other thing. One other thing called the committee's attention. I think it was either Mr. Schroeder or Mr. Allen in Fairbanks that mentioned a waiver provision. And there's a provision on the property disclosure statement that both parties can agree to waive the making out of the statement. And I know that this is a fact because I just filled one of these out last week. And I think what Mr. Schroeder said or Mr. Allen was that they're encouraging their people to fill out this waiver so that there will be no type of innocent misrepresentation to come back at them. So what this is doing, in effect, is by encouraging the filling out of the waiver of the personal disclosure form, and that can be done with the agreement of the buyer and the seller, that you're abrogating the original intent of the personal disclosure, property disclosure law, which was to have information available to a potential buyer. And the question is, who's going to be liable for that information? Is it the seller or the real estate agent? And right now, I guess it's both of them. Senator Lincoln.
Which brings me to the question that I want to ask. I didn't know if Mr. Green was going to be testifying, but he asks a question, and I don't know if there's someone online that wants to respond to it, but how will the public know, he asks, how will the public know which statements from a licensed real estate professional can be relied upon and which statements from a licensed real estate professional cannot be relied upon? If somebody were going in to purchase property and they were told by the realtor that this is the information that we have, what are some of the questions that the public needs to ask of that realtor, or how do they know that they're getting all of the information? I think the waiver is a good idea because it forces then both parties to understand that perhaps all the information isn't there. But I'm concerned about how would the public be protected then if the realtor says, you know, for anything, I haven't seen the definition of innocent misrepresentation.
Okay, Josh, why don't we do this? Why don't you read, we received a fax today from the trial attorney that Senator Lincoln has referred to. Why don't you read that for the record so everybody on teleconference will know what's in that.
This is a fax from the trial attorneys, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, Harold Green, January 17th. Dear committee members, I am submitting this written testimony on SB 206, which, as I understand it, will remove civil liability for innocent misrepresentation by a licensed real estate professional in Alaska, and thereby reverse Bevins versus Ballard. Whether or not to pass SB 206 involves real public policy judgment on the part of this legislature. Let us assume that SB 206 were to become law. How will the public be notified that they can no longer rely upon certain representations made by a licensed real estate professional? Must each real estate transaction contain conspicuous language such as warning, you should not rely upon statements made by your licensed real estate professionals in Alaska? Or should the real estate professional be required to start each conversation with a new prospective client with such a notice? How will the public be notified that they can no longer rely upon statements made by a licensed real estate professional? How will the public know which statements from a licensed real estate professional can be relied upon and which statements from a licensed real estate professional cannot be relied upon? Wouldn't it be cruel to pass SB 206 without concurrently passing express notice requirements that clearly tell the public they should no longer rely upon statements of licensed real estate professionals in Alaska? Perhaps SB 206 will erode public confidence in our licensed real estate professionals. Does SB 206 truly benefit the real estate profession? Does SB 206 benefit the citizens of Alaska? By Harold Green, Esquire.
Okay, does anybody on teleconference want to try to answer that argument?
Senator Kelly, this is Mark Cordy. I might try a little bit. I think that we're already in...
I think so. I'm not sure it answers Senator Lincoln's question. Georgiana? Steve, did you want to take a shot at that?
It's a question that might, but I'm not sure what the answer is either. The way I read all this material, it sounds as though the seller, assume this bill passes, the seller is liable under either fraudulent or negligent or innocent misrepresentation. But the broker is liable only under fraudulent or negligent. Is that the way you read it, Mark? Is there still an innocent misrepresentation standard that applies to the seller but not to the broker? I guess the reason I was asking is I was wondering what kind of things might occur where there is a liability on the seller but not on the broker. I mean, can you give an example of where the only recourse of the buyer would be to the seller?
Well, I don't think that any court would hold the same responsibility or a level of knowledge against the seller that they would a real estate agent. Real estate agent is really expected to know a lot more. I think what they're asking in the seller's disclosure form, as I understand it, is to the best of your knowledge, Mr. Seller, answer these questions. You know, that was toned down quite a bit from the earlier version to make it much, at least some people felt, make it much less intrusive into sellers' personal business and probably a often so that their expertise was not as great. So I think that they just do the best they can if they were in fact fraudulent or misrepresented intentionally, they would certainly be liable. I would guess if they innocently misrepresented something in the court system or to a seller, that the courts would determine that they very likely were not held to a standard that another professional, for example, architect or real estate licensee might be held to.
Senator Lincoln.
And so there's a seller disclosure form. Is there then also the agent or broker disclosure form that one has to sign as well, potential buyers?
The only form I think required there would be sort of agency disclosure or contract that a buyer or a seller might have with the real estate licensee.
Senator Reeder.
Thank you. Just final question. Make sure I understand how it would work with this bill then. You have the protections for the seller are first, or protection for the buyer is first the seller has to fill out a disclosure form to the best of the seller's knowledge, and that's the only standard. It just has to be to the best of that person's knowledge. Then the broker or agent has a due diligence liability that's defined in case law for how much investigating they have to do, but probably it's more expertise than what the seller has, and that's it. And if the buyer wants more than that, they would go out and hire their own engineer or some kind of professional. But those are that's if this passes, that would be the level the protections that exist.
Senator Kelly, this is Gray Yerkes. I would like to add some things to what Harold and Mr. Green said about should we not. What words do we listen to when we work with an agent? When in the real world, because of the Bevins case, they have an addendum which is called the right and duty of inspection, which basically says that we are not experts in this field.
That's right.
And therefore, if anything concerns you and they give a broad list of what concerns them, then you should get the appropriate expert. And then it says you should rely on things in writing. The bottom part of this, if you accept this property, it meant you were satisfied with it at the time of closing. As far as the waiver, I believe that people are waiving that, and it started with some of the institutions because of the treble damages. I don't think that when you waive the right that you end up saying that you're not going to disclose things. You may just waive the provisions of that bill that says, if I gave it to you I believe it was a fraudulent manner or intentional manner, then I'm liable for treble damages. In the earnest money, the seller warrants that the heating, plumbing, basically the structure is in good condition, except for other things stated in writing. And then that goes back to a disclosure. So it follows. Everything's, everything in the real world, we have all these little forms and we can keep developing forms. But what they're really basically trying to eliminate is if we get something from a seller, maybe something as simple, and this is was an issue, as that tree is alive, and we pass that on, and the spring comes along, and the tree is not alive, which, of course, we could not know that this would happen. And it sounds funny, but I had to go through about $100 in legal work to get a certain tree off a property. But to say that thing is alive, that's passing it on, because it could have been alive in the fall, but it wasn't alive in the spring, and for whatever reason, sounds kind of silly, but that's the type of things that can happen by innocent misrepresentation.
Well, a good example is the Bevins case itself. As I just glanced at the opinion, it was a hassle over the well, you know, and so the seller can say, well, it's a great well, pumps 40 gallons, they buy the place, and all of a sudden it pumps two or three. Should a realtor have known that? Should they be liable for that statement made by the seller? I suspect they could get out there and meter the water pumping of that well, but then there's probably 500 other things they might be doing. They, you know, and a real professional is really just trying to bring two people together, a buyer and a seller. At least that's why I introduced the bill, obviously. Let's go to the Mat-Su Valley. Did anybody there want to testify?
this committee. My name is Rick Hunter. I'm at 500 West North Main Street in Wasilla. I am the immediate past president of the Alaska Association of Realtors and the legislative chair for the ballot. This innocent misrepresentation is basically something that we need to semi-protect ourselves from false information from very reliable sources. For example, I'm sure you're all aware that we had the billing boom in 81, 82, 83, 84 up here in the valley. During that period of time, there were homes that were built and square footages were given, and this is a specific example, given to the Manitou Borough for taxation purposes. 10 years later, heaven only knows what happened to portions of this house where it's decreased or increased, and the borough certainly has not gone back out there and gotten a new square footage. In due diligence, we ask the seller, for example, what the square footage is. He gives it to us, and then we, in turn, go to the borough and get a square footage from them. And it has happened to me in the past where the seller has said, for example, a house is 1,400 square feet. I go to the borough and it gets 1,370 square feet. I put it on the MLS as 1,370. The seller, a buyer, comes in, and lo and behold, it turns out it's only 1,340. Now, I get this information out from due diligence on my part from the seller and from a reliable, what I would consider a very reliable source, the Manitou Borough. We're now short of some square footage, of course, taking $75 a square foot into exam to replace it. The difference between the two is something I can be highly liable for. This is why I'm concerned would be a total innocent misrepresentation on my part, since I've given due diligence. As was said in the appellate court, that we are simply a conduit for this information. If we're looking at a home and they say it's 1,800 square feet, you could pretty well eyeball it and tell that it is not. At that point, it behooves all of us to get out there and check it out. The other professional services out there, tax preparers, lawyers, things like this, when they're given wrong information and the IRS comes back or the defendant is proven guilty based on, and they were defending him in a case and information that they got, they're not held responsible for it. The individual particularly is held responsible. So consequently, the innocent misrepresentation to us is not a conduit, Mr. Green says, to not tell the public something. We're going to be as diligent and professional as we can possibly be in our manner of dealing with the public. Thank you.
Mr. Michael, or did you still want to testify in the match suit?
Yes, this is Frank Michael, media past chairman of the legislative committee for the Alaska Association of Realtors. I was the chairman of record when this legislation was introduced. First, in response to Senator Lincoln's question, or the question brought up by Mr. Green, there has to be a certain amount of integrity in the transaction. An agent without integrity doesn't last. There's no such thing as a perfect answer to every problem we're going to come up with. We believe, after much investigation of other states and their laws, that with the current status, the home buyer and the home seller are left very much so uncovered because of the lack of E&O insurance on the part of many agents, brokerages that are currently active in the state. Now, in regards to the waiver, to the best of my knowledge, the waiver does not relieve any responsibility. Matter of fact, the waiver almost, most assuredly, would increase our responsibility. The waiver of the property disclosure law, property disclosure form, would increase our responsibility. We are not the experts. I am not an engineer. I am not a surveyor. I am not a building inspector. When those people give information, I believe it is my duty to pass that information on, as they are the expert. And to hold me responsible for their actions or their statements is not only unfair, it is it's a travesty. Thank you very much.
Further questions? Did anybody in Juneau want to testify in this bill? Did anybody on teleconference want to testify in opposition to this bill? Then in that case, what's the will of the committee? Senator Rieger?
Mr. Chairman, if it hasn't been done, I move that we adopt the CS for Senate Bill 206, Labor and Commerce, and after doing so, move it out of committee with individual recommendations.
Let's do it one at a time. Is there any objection to adopting the committee substitute? Without objection, the committee substitute is adopted. Senator Rieger.
Okay, I move that CS for Senate Bill 206, Labor and Commerce, be moved out with individual recommendations.
I would note that the bill next goes to the Judiciary Committee, where some of these questions, no doubt, will be brought forward again. Is there objection to moving the bill out of committee with individual recommendations? I object to the bill moving from committee. That concludes our business for today. Are we meeting Thursday, Josh?
No, we are, Mr. Chairman.
We're not meeting Thursday. There is some, we have received a letter from the Teamsters Union opposing the executive order that transfers weights and measures from Congress to the Department of Transportation. We'll probably be looking into that in the next couple of weeks, but we won't be meeting on Thursday, so we'll see you all next Tuesday afternoon. Meeting adjourned.